Shalom Aleichem. We are between the closure of Sukkot and the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. So let's take a look. I think joining two things together. I'll try and be brief, and in base Hashem, hopefully it'll be edifying for all of us. First of all, let's take a look at the title is Adam Kain and Lemech, Poor Choices, and the difference between Shavuos and Simchas Torah. It seems like a non sequitur, or a little bit of free association on my part, but I think as we get to the closure of our discussion, I think we'll see that they're not so as unrelated as they might appear on the surface. First of all, Adam. The subtitle over here is, unless I am making all the decisions, I'm not really me. What does that mean? The Pasuk says in the statement of the Nachash, Techava, Ki Yodei Elokim, this is a major discussion. How's it possible that through, in fact, they did become Yodei Tovara, that they could have gained through their sin? And this is the Rambam Mor Nevuchim discusses. And he bases upon the Targum. It says, Argalei Kodem Hashem, Arabiyum de Tichlun Minei, that they would become chachamim, right? Powerful ones. Elokim, like Dayanim, chakimim, bein tav labish. The understanding over here is that this was not a plus. If you have to judge, right? We know the shame Elokim is also used to mean a judge. A person who is in a position to be able to judge. If you have to judge if it's night and day, that's not a mila. If I'm going to ask you, can you judge between night and day, and you look at him, excuse me, judge? There's nothing to be mavchin, there's nothing to judge over here. It is night or it is day, it's one or the other. So to also, the world prior to the chait, what was true, and what was not real was not true. You need to judge over it. But now that they've become attached, they've become Yodei Tovara, they've been attached to the system of Tovara, now they have become now judges who determine what's right and what's wrong. But it shouldn't have been a choice. It should have been self-evident. But this was driven by a false premise. Unless I'm making all the decisions, I'm not really me. I'm not really me. In other words, this is part of who I am. I have to make the choices. But that's an error. The error continues further in that Vayomer Adam, Ha'isha Shonostata Imadi, Inasna Li Mina Eitz Bochal. When Kodesh Baruch Hu confronts Adam and says, Who told you that? Why'd you do this? Who told you that you're naked? Who? Why did you eat from it? So instead of accepting the blame, taking responsibility for his own actions, Adam instead turns and says, it's her fault. So this Fono, he, Shanasato, Sola Ezer, Lahoel, Nasalimina H, this creature, this woman that you gave to me to be an aid, and said she gave me from the eights Hadas to eat for Isil and Mikshol. So we're going to stumbling block from him and say, Yachas Hashmasa Lakono Tmuras Hatshuva. In this way, he's saying, it's your fault, Hashem. You gave her to me, and she caused me to sin. Instead of doing, Shaisaruyolo Kemosha Asa David Ba'omra El Nasanat Chatasi. When David, of course, we know that Swarm teach us that Adam's very name, Aleph Dalad Mem, is Rosh Tevas, Adam, David Mashiach. Because David rectifies to a large extent that which Adam did incorrectly, and the job will be finished by Mashiach. David takes responsibility. Adam, unfortunately, didn't. this is one realm of where we think that to be me, I need to make all the decisions. I can't rely upon anything else. I can't accept anything else, right? But certain things should be self-evident. I don't need to make a decision. I don't need to decide between one thing and the other. Once again, as we said before, if you're asking me, do I have to decide between day or night? It's evident. Kind is a different form of poor decision-making, poor choices. Kain maintains I was dealt a rotten hand in life that's preventing my real me from shining. Once again, what does that mean? What does that mean in terms of Kain? What does that mean in terms of Kain? Kain says, Vayosef loledes es ochiv es havel vayhi hevel roetzon v'kain haya oved adama. The birth of Hevel after Kain roetzon, right? Vishniskala adama, Rashi says, pirish lo me'avodasa. Hevel chose to be a shepherd. Why? Because the ground was cursed, which forces us into a question, why then did Kain choose, right, to be an oved adama, which had been cursed? So Gurari says several ideas. One that he says that Cain felt that was his responsibility. Since he was the firstborn, and since the need of that which grows from the ground, grains, etc., are much more fundamental to man's sustenance, to man's survival, than the sheep, he felt it was incumbent upon him to make that choice. And he was bitter about that. Another possibility, the Gurari says, is the nefesh ra mis'avel ra. He was drawn towards it. His nefesh itself had a predisposition towards the ra. Again, once again, he's not bereft of v'chira, but he has a tendency in that direction, and as such, he chose to be a farmer of the earth. Either way, Kain, either because that's what my nature drew me towards, or I felt a sense of responsibility, but he's bitter over it. And then, when in turn, he argues with Hevel, as the Chazal bring down, Targum Yomim and Rezil, they begin to argue, after his Korban is not accepted, and Hevel's Korban isn't accepted, he actually becomes a kofar. He says there's no din v'dayan, there's no justice, there's no schar v'onesh, and Hevel disagrees with him. And the result is, as the Kesa Yonason, the Mephorish on the Yonason, Targum Yonason, Nuziel, says that the result was, v'yakom kayin al Hevel achiv yidbiya evin b'mitzvah v'hargom. When they fought over, Is the world fair? If the world's not fair, then God's not running the world, etc. That was Cain's conclusion. Cain's conclusion was that if my life is so junky and so messed up, and I was dealt a rotten hand to begin with, then there's nothing fair going on here. I don't understand it. Therefore, it's there's no schar v'onesh. And therefore, I have to take care of number one. I'm going to take care of number one. So you know what? I'm not going to bring the best that I have. I'll save that for myself. I'll bring the least. I'll just be Yotze. Of course, in the end, his Korban is not accepted. Hevel's Korban is accepted. So Cain, right, different from Adam. Adam is, unless I'm making all the decisions, I'm not really me. That was a failure. Cain is already dealing with an existing situation which doesn't appear to be favoring him. And he feels like he was dealt a rotten hand in life. After, indeed, his Korban is not accepted by Hashem, as opposed to Hevel's, so then Hashem tells him, Vel Cain, Vel Minchaso Lo Shav Vayichal Cain Ma'od Vayiplu Panav. He was aggravated. He was down. Sometimes the kind says, why are you aggravated? Why are you depressed? The Shem Yishmuel asked the question, what do you expect Cain to feel? Of course he should feel guilty. He didn't bring the best thing. Why he shouldn't feel guilty? He got a patch. He shouldn't feel embarrassed. He shouldn't feel guilty. Says the Shem Yishmuel, to feel guilty and to use that to transform one's actions in positive energy terms, to rectify, is all fine and dandy. But if you are subject to Yeush, you give up, which is what Hashem discerned in Cain. Va'amarnu, says the Shem Yishmuel, Shaya inyan shel Yeush shegarua me'akol. When you give up, because I'm a lost cause, I messed up. Hello, you tative says. And she yadua shima adam osa tshuva machzirin lo avodaso sha'avad kodem. Tshuvaso. Shem Yishmuel says something. He's not the first one to say it, but he brings in an idea that the Rambam relates to in Hilchas Tshuva. He talks about that the mitzvahs that a person does before he does tshuva, torfen lo befanav. Right? Kilo are torn up. And his tefillos are not accepted. And the Ari says that all of those things afterwards are rectified. When a person does indeed do tshuva, all of those mitzvahs that were not accepted, those tefillahs that were not accepted, they go upstairs. They are accepted then as a result of tshuva. That's what the Shem Yishmuel points out over here. So that's what Hashem is telling him. Don't give up. That's stupid. Don't give up. Don't get depressed. It's true. It was not a good start. But if you fix it, you'll rise. But Cain was too caught up with his own misery, with his own sense of the unfairness of life. He just added to this as one more, as it were, straw that broke the camel's back. And in the end, he murdered his brother out of anger of his brother maintaining that the world is ultimately fair, even if not always understood, but always ultimately fair. And that there is reward, there is punishment, there is a din, there is a dayan. And that brought about Cain's anger and ultimately his murdering of his brother Hevel. Lemech is another personality. Vayikach Lemech shtei nashim. Lemech is descendant of Cain. Shem achas adav shem asheni sila. Right? And Rashi tells us that he had two wives. One for propagation, and one for pleasure. Right, that's what he called. That's what he called. That's the story of Lemech. The story of Lemech. He's going to compartmentalize life. Kacha yadarkan shel dor amabul achas lepiri v'rivi v'achas latashrish zushi latashrish masha kos shel ikrim. Right. The ones that he kept around for pleasure, the wife, so they would try to sterilize them to one degree or another. Obviously, weren't successful because she did bear both Tubal Cain and Naama. He's going to compartmentalize life. So we have a person who thinks that unless he makes all the decisions, unless he's in charge of every choice, he's not really me. That was an error. That was Adam. You have Cain, who believes he's been dealt a hard hand in life, and as well as he's bitter over it, and that influences his decisions and his reactions to what happens to him. And then you have Lemech, right? You have Lemech. Let's compartmentalize life. Now, certainly in terms of Lemech, his relationship with Hashem is, I'll do whatever's necessary, just to maintain order, but. Don't crowd my personal life. All of them don't intrinsically have a deep connection that their identity, that who they are, that their real me, or as we know in the highest level, a person's soul system is called Yechida. His deepest individuality is his connection to Hashem. This could all be summed up in what we read in Koheles on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Right? Koheles says, Es kol zeri'is even ason es libi l'chol ma'aseh she na'aseh tachas ha'shamesh. I paid attention to all of this in my heart. I saw everything that took place under the sun. Es es yershalat ha'adam ba'adam l'ra lo. A time, period, in which one person subjugated another person, obviously to his detriment. So generally we understand that pasuk is meaning one individual subjugating another individual, but Reb Tzadok HaKohen and Tzidkas HaTzadik, both Rishon Zion, discusses the idea of a person can subjugate himself. He can give himself a false identity. He becomes so accustomed to thinking a certain way about himself, about who he is, what his life is like, and who he is, what his identity is, that he assumes a false identity. There's a pasuk, you know, that's in the back of some sidurim, you'll find there's a pasuk associated with every name. And a person says it, it's a minhag, some people say it at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. These psukim start with the first letter and then with the last letter of that person's name. And the reason they say that one says that is so that one should remember one's name when one gets upstairs after 120. Now, what does that mean? How do you forget your name? The reason you could forget your name is because you never lived your name. Your name is who you're meant to be, your essence. Again, do we understand how each name is related to it? Not necessarily. But we do understand there are people who never live who they really are. They live a false identity. So this school of saying this pasuk is meant to keep a person more aware of that they should live who they are as opposed to living a false identity. Adam, Cain, Lamech. Now let's talk about us. We've now spent almost 2 months from Elul through the vast majority of Tishrei. We're on our way next week to Cheshvan already, working on finding our true selves. That's really what this whole story was about, starting from the Anila, Dodiva, Dodili, Avelo, and working our way through Rosh Hashanah, that's Seder Simchat Teshuva, Yom Kippurim, and into the days between Yom Kippurim and Sukkot, and through Sukkot, etc. This is all a discovery of self. Who am I really? With the coming of Rosh Hashanah, so we discussed this idea once before, let's just mention it again once again briefly. We note that the Gaonim added in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, for instance, two different phrases, Achrein L'chaim, Michmocha Avarachamim. But we note that there's also at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, Uchsov L'chaim Tovim, with Sefer Chaim Bracha V'Sholom, Fonos HaTov, and Yizach V'Nikosel V'Necha, Nachlo Cholam Chol B'Yisrael L'chaim Tovim L'Sholom. We note that the two additions in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei don't mention Chaim Tovim, they just mention Chaim. And the latter additions, two additions which are found in the end of Shemoneh Esrei, mention Chaim Tovim. And we discussed already this idea of a Chaim means essentially my connection to Hashem. That's life. I am connected to Hashem. That is me. That's my identity. I want that. That's my priority. In addition, I also need Chaim Tovim. Why? Because it makes it more convenient, easier for me, as it were, to focus my role on the quest, the search for Chaim. I also need Chaim Tovim. But that's a matter of prioritization. First Chaim, then afterwards Chaim Tovim. We live with those additions all the way through to the Ne'ilah. And then the closing bracha in the Ila contains in Vatzalmdeinu Hashem Elokeinu Lizvados Lefanecha Al Kol V'Nasinu L'man Nechtal Mi Oshek Yadeinu. As the Sfarim say, L'man Nechtal Mi Oshek Yadeinu, that we should cease to oppress ourselves. There are different ways to understand it, but Farshim do bring this idea on the Tzlach, others. L'man Nechtal Mi Oshek Yadeinu. We should cease oppressing ourselves with what? With this false identity. It's not us. We entered into Sukkos. One of the motifs that related to the Dal Minim is that the lulav was the person's spine, and the esrog was the person's heart, and the hadassim were a person's eyes, and the arov was a person's lips. Kol atzvosai tomarna, that all of my limbs should say praise to Hashem. The dalad minim, representing the different parts of our of who we are, all focused to say praise to Hashem. Why? Because our quest for Hashem is the quest for Chaim. Our lives are realized, that our attachment to eternity is our attachment to Hashem, to throw Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'asim tovim. We invited the Ushpizin every night of Sukkos, and we tried to adopt and adapt for ourselves their unbelievable midos, their character traits, what typified them. So to make that part of our persona, or as it were, not to make just part of our persona, to uncover that that's part of our spiritual DNA. We learned emuna and milas chasadim from Amram Avinu. We learned the year of Yitzchak, Isogiba Kovshis Yitzro, the ability to control one's desire to express oneself at the expense of one's relationship with Hashem, the person who is willing to go up upon the Akedah. We learned the Emes of Yaakov, the ability to be able to accept that one needs to legislate every action and every reaction and every encounter with object or experience that one has through the lens of the Torah, and to translate into Emes. Emes which carries from the Aleph to the Mem to the Tav, from the beginning to the middle to the end. It is a complete line in that sense. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of the fulfillment of the Torah, of Yikov Adin HaSahar. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's battle cry of the Republic, when he adjudicated two cases. Let's find what the absolute halacha is. Again, we're talking there in Choshen Mishpat, but the fact is, even though Lamaisa, like Hillel HaZaken teaches us, you know, Avos, having been telling you, Sha'arna coins, as we'll see in just a moment, who has a different approach. He believes in Pshara, but when it comes to certainly the other halachas, one has to take the approach of, I gotta do what's right. I can't make up something. I can't make up a new din. I can't ignore the truth. Aaron, on the other hand, is Oev Sholem, Rodev Sholem, Oev Zabriyas, Karvan La Torah. Pshara. Let's weigh both sides equally. Let's come to some sort of middle ground. These are all part of building, or I should say once again, uncovering our truly Jewish persona. The Emuna and the Gnas Chasadim of Avram. I'm not going into all that in depth at all. The year of Yitzchak, the Emes of Yaakov, the rectitude of Moshe Rabbeinu's application of Torah, and Aaron's quest for love and for shalom between disparate parties. Yosef, his incredible Kedusha, and at the same time, his incredible Tovas Ayin. He sustained his brothers when he even tried to kill him. Tov Ayin Yivorach. Kinasam Milach Vol Adal. That was Yosef. The one with the good eye is blessed, for he's given to the poor, to his brothers. He sustained them in Egypt, even though they tried to kill him, they tried to destroy him. And finally, David, the last of the seven Ushpizim. Ne'im Zmiris Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel, he is able to sing about every event in life, be it pleasant, be it chesed, be it din, be it mishpat. He's always able to be mezamer, to prune away, zemer, miloshim losizma, to prune away perhaps any inappropriate approach to what just transpired. In addition, he's an umagever, hukamal, the hekim uloshol tshuva. David Melch showed us how to pick oneself up after one falls. He raised the yoke of tshuva. That's what we've been doing. Through Elul, through Rosh Hashanah, through Rosh Hashanah tshuva, through Mekipurim, through Sukkos. Who are we? Who are we? And the answer really is our connection to Hashem. And that's what brings us now to the denouement, that brings us to the climax, that brings us to Simchas Torah. So my wife and I spent Simchas Torah with my father-in-law, she lived very well, Cheskel ben Fega, Shevafu Hashem, Soch Shachal Yisrael, and Hadassah Ein Kerem. initially we saw that some people were feeling pretty bad for us. You spend your Yontif, Chastorvald, Yom Tov, you spend in the hospital. Unfortunate, but really wasn't easy, but it wasn't unfortunate. It was an out-of-body experience. First of all, everybody there was together. Ashkenazim, Sephardim, Litvish, Hasidish, Kippah Suga, Yerushalmi, and ponytails. I mentioned to several people, I said, based upon our gathering here, our very varied collection of Jews, at these hakafos, I guess when the base of Mikdash means the Shemba built will be managed together. Because we can manage here. It was an amazing experience. But in addition, aside from the very varied population, the people there for varied reasons. There were people there who were new fathers. Their wives were in the maternity wards. And there were other people there who came out of the oncology ward. And there were other people there who had relatives in the ICU. And there were other people there with other sorts of relatives. One man carrying his very broken young child, his daughter, right? So much damage to her body. He was carrying her around during our kafos. And everybody was holding hands. Everybody was dancing their hearts out. The people who were in a state of jubilation and the people who were trying to fight back, right, called the forces of Yeush. They were dancing and dancing and dancing. At one point we made two circles, the inner circle of wheelchairs with the Sifrei Torah, the outer circle of people who could walk on their own 2 feet. There was a chaim in the middle of the kofos during the day, her father's child had been unconscious in the ICU, right, intensive care unit, and all of a sudden was now conscious, singing, clapping, dancing, because the Torah was theirs. Shlosh says, we've mentioned it before, Yisrael's Yesh Shishim Riba Osius LaTorah. There's 60,000 root letters and 60,000, i.e. 600,000 root souls in the Jewish people. Right? And they were all singing because they were singing because the Torah was theirs. They were singing with their os. They were dancing with their os. We are an os in the Torah. Kutshu Brichu, V'raisa, V'Yisrael Chadu, Rabbon Shalom, and through the Torah, they've all become one with Yisrael. So Shavuos, the time of Matan Torah, a glorious time of incredible clarity. But Simchas Torah is to rejoice in the Torah. Why? Because every Jew, right? Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. It is every Jew's inheritance. It is every Jew's ticket to connection to Hashem. Every Jew has the Torah. Every Jew's letter is in the Torah. And every letter of the Torah is in every Jew. It was exquisite. It was beautiful to watch. It was beautiful to see. Everyone dancing together. Those who had an easier time because of their circumstances and those who did it because you have to show cover to the Torah because the Torah is me. The Torah is the way that Hashem gives me me. That's what makes me special. Not my ability to make all the decisions myself, not to have a cushy life. Why Hashem chooses one person's life to design in one fashion, others in others, that those are His secrets. But He gave me the Torah. He gave me a ticket to eternity. He gave me my os. My os is in the Torah, and the Torah's os is in me. And they danced and danced and danced. Perhaps today is hard. Maybe tomorrow will be sweeter. The Rav there, this Rav Peretz, he himself, he and his wife didn't have children for 25 years. and they run the program of arranging the meals, the Shabbosos, Yom Tovim, there in the hospital every week. It was Zocha finally to a child after 25 years. So he told a story of a young man, of Rech, who the previous year had been there at Simchas Torah, and he got an aliyah like everybody got an aliyah. But he made a mishberach for a new son, you know, shetiz kulach niso, right? Risa shavavinu meita zman lagadla tol chup maishin tovim, he says, mazel tov, and he begins to cry. Repairs asks him, he says, why are you crying? He says, later. And after that coffee, he comes over to him, he says, I want to explain. He says, why I was crying. He says, why? He says, you don't recognize me. He says, no. He says, I was here 5 years ago, but then I didn't have any hair. And my friends came to dance with me at the same Simchas Torah celebration here in the Beit HaKnesset in Hadassah Ein Karim, in the Chagall Beit HaKnesset, the exquisite windows. My friends came to dance with me on that Simchas Torah because they assumed that was my last Simchas Torah. It's 5 years later, and Baruch Hashem, I'm healthy, and I'm a father to a baby boy. And I'm back in the same, right, the same minyan on Simchas Torah here in Hadassah Ein Karim. So for him, right, yesterday was hard, today is sweet. For some of the people that were there then, that were there this past Simchas Torah when I was there, for some of them, that day was sweet, and for others, it was hard. Maybe tomorrow will be sweet for them as well. Halavai for all the Jewish people. But in the interim, the dance, every Jew dancing with his Sefer Torah, with his os in the Torah, because that's how we are connected to Hashem, that's our true identity. How we deal with jubilation, how we deal with difficulties, with pain, with the struggles of life. That's the way that we write our special os with our unique spiritual handwriting. We write Hashem's name upon the event, upon the experience, upon the object that we came into contact with. The Torah and us. The Torah and us, and through that Torah and us together, we're fused to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we have to take with us. So not everything is smooth, and it's quite possible that we'll stumble during the year. But if we remember that our deepest I is our connection to the Torah, then God willing, we will continue the dance of life. I'd be as gold tzedek. Amen. For us and for all the Jewish people. Everybody should have a great winter. A good winter.